TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to FarmJournalTV.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at FarmJournalTV.com.
A couple years ago, I was in the bathroom at the airport when I dropped my smartphone in the toilet. Not smart. I was multitasking when I should have been focused on the job at hand. Embarrassing, but I'm not alone. According to Google, 7 million other multitaskers accidentally dropped their phones into the bowl last year. A gentle reminder that right now you can get yourself a brand new Samsung Galaxy A36 absolutely free with a $35 plan from Pure Talk. The A36 comes with scratch-resistant Gorilla Glass and a battery that'll last all day, along with unlimited talk, text, and data on America's most dependable 5G network. In other words, it's tough and smart. Something to think about next time you're multitasking in the necessary. Just dial #250, say keyword micro to get your free phone today. You can make the switch in just 10 minutes. That's #250. Say micro to switch to a no-nonsense smartphone and a company that actually stands for something. Pure Talk.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. In Idaho, a judge handed down a sentence of four life sentences without the possibility of parole for Brian Koberger. He pleaded guilty to the stabbing murders of four University of Idaho students inside their off-campus home in 2022. Koberger listened to victim impact statements earlier from families and survivors showing no emotion.
He is a hollow vessel, something less than human. A body without empathy, without remorse.
Survivor Dylan Morganson painfully mourning the loss of her friend, she says, and her struggle to carry on her life after the violent attack. Koberger made a last-minute plea deal with prosecutors that spared him the death penalty. He declined to address the court. ABC's Alex Stone is in Boise.
The judge saying it doesn't matter, that it would all be a lie anyway. Whatever Koberger would say, that there would be no justification for what he did, that there is nothing to it, that he would say that would be any semblance of an explanation that would make any sense.
This is ABC News. One of two doctors charged in the drug overdose death of actor Matthew Perry changed his plea at a hearing today in Los Angeles. Five people in all are accused in Perry's death.
Through his attorney, Dr. Salvador Plasencia, releasing a statement saying he's profoundly remorseful for the treatment decisions he made while providing ketamine to Matthew Perry, and says he's fully accepting responsibility by pleading guilty to drug distribution. Plasencia also saying that he intends to voluntarily surrender his medical license. Sentencing was set for December 3rd. He faces a maximum of 40 years in prison and a $2 million fine.
ABC's Chuck Sievertson. Dangerous heat keeping its grip on western states and the nation's midsection with millions under heat alerts. Those triple digits, along with real field temperatures and high humidity, set to expand to the East Coast in the coming days. Officials are urging people to hydrate and check on their neighbors. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Find what you love, love what you find. A Total Wine and More, there's so much waiting for you. Spirits and beer, thousands of wines. Guides in the know when price is so low, it just might blow your mind. You're gonna find what you love and love what you find.
With curbside pickup and delivery available, you'll always find what you love, only at Total Wine and More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Aylin. Police are looking for an arson suspect who targeted Oshkosh Defense.
Oshkosh police released surveillance video of an arson suspect. The individual, who was dressed in a black hoodie, a black cap, black slacks, and wore a light-colored face mask, allegedly placed a box near the entrance of the Oshkosh Defense Building on Oregon Street and lit the box on fire during the early morning hours of July 10th. The building sustained some damage before being extinguished by an Oshkosh Defense employee. No one was hurt. The video is posted on the Oshkosh Police Department Facebook page. Terry Kovarik, Wisconsin Radio Network.
High temperatures and humidity are in the forecast for the rest of the week across Wisconsin. Dr. Jeff Potthoff of UW Health says there are serious signs of overheating to keep in mind.
Folks will just seem a little bit out of it, almost as if they're intoxicated, but they haven't had a bunch to drink. They maybe say something that doesn't sound quite right. They look like they're a little bit, you know, disassociated, not necessarily present with you. And they're starting to get into that heat stroke type thing where, you know, it's affecting their mental status.
If you experience any symptoms, get some fluids in you and find a cool area. The chairman of Wisconsin's Oneida Nation speaks out on President Donald Trump's call for the Washington Commanders and Cleveland Guardians to return to their previous team names. The Commanders used to go by the Redskins. That's a term that Chair Tahasi Hill says has connections to race wars.
That kind of harkens back to the early days of the colonists paying money for scalps that had red skin still attached to the hair, and they would get bounties for that. And so that's the base as to why that's such a negative term for Native Americans.
President Trump has threatened to halt a stadium deal that would bring the Commanders back to the former RFK Stadium site if they failed to revert. He's also calling for Major League Baseball's Cleveland Guardians to revert to the Cleveland Indians. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away, so come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
It is going to be hot and muggy today. The heat index pushing 100 or better with an actual high in the low to mid-90s this afternoon. A few thunderstorms late this afternoon and tonight. Some of those could be strong to severe with hail and wind being the main threat tomorrow. Thunderstorms with a high of 84. If you need a new bathroom, you might as well build yourself a nice one for $99 a month interest-free with BCI Bath and Shower. Call today, 800-329-4115. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 78.
That weighed on corn prices. Or was it the drop in bean prices that pulled corn down? I'm not sure that really matters. The grain markets were lower across the board, but bean oil was higher. Lean hog futures erased early losses to close higher. And there they go again. New highs in the cattle complex.
Live from a rubber steak match via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll have a conversation with Angie Setzer of Consys Ag Consulting. Right after the news, we'll hear from Todd Horowitz of BubbaTrading.com. I'm producer Big Apple Joe Stackler, and now, the host of AgriTalk. Hello, sir. Chip Flory.
Big Apple Joe. Yeah, you know, it's probably a good thing that Davis took the afternoon off. Otherwise, I'd have to hear about how the Royals are up 4-1 against the Cubbies right now and that deciding third game of the series on who's going to be buying steaks the next time we get together. So it's probably a good thing he's gone.
Yeah. Yeah. But he'll be back tomorrow, and we'll see how things go. And
hey, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. All right, welcome to AgriTalk. Glad that you are with us here on this Wednesday afternoon. As Big Apple Joe said, we've got Bubba coming up here in just a little bit. And we're going to have a conversation with Angie Setzer from Consys Ag Consulting. What messages are we getting from the price action in the corn market? What kind of a corn crop is factored into current prices? What do you do about it? Those are the things that we are going to be talking with Angie about as the show goes on today. But first, let's go ahead and get to what's going on in the markets. Rain in U.S. spring wheat areas today, and the forecast for scattered rain in the Canadian prairies over the next 10 days were a weight on wheat futures. That was balanced by reports that dry conditions have overtaken wheat areas in southeastern Ukraine and southern Russia. Day one of the annual spring wheat tour generated an average yield of 50 bushels per acre. That's down from last year's 52.5 bushels per acre. September spring wheat futures opened steady and tried to rally before falling to a new contract low. Prices then bounced to close off-session lows, but they were still low range. September soft red winter wheat futures opened lower and tried to rally before falling back to close on-session lows. Front month SRW saw an inside trading day on the daily charts today. September HRW wheat futures 9¾ cents lower at 523.5. September SRW wheat down 9 cents to 540.5. And September spring wheat closed at 588, down 3¾ cents. Spring wheat tour happens every year, obviously. They're in North Dakota and taking a look at what is going on up there. USDA back in the August report gave us a back in the July crop production report, gave us the second biggest spring wheat average yield estimate on record. I'm not too sure if they're seeing what would support that at this point, but we'll learn more from the guys out there on the spring wheat tour as the week goes on. Japan is the second biggest importer of U.S. corn, but the corn market was hesitant to react to news the U.S. and Japan have reached a trade agreement. Tariffs on imports from Japan will be set at 15% starting August 1, and there are no signs of retaliatory tariffs on U.S. exports to Japan. There is talk of pollination problems, developing disease pressure, and heat through the end of the month, but the corn market basically ignored the talk. Ethanol production in the weekend of July 18 averaged 1.078 million barrels per day, down 9,000 from the previous week. Ethanol stocks surged 809,000 barrels to 24.444 million. December corn opened steady and traded on both sides of unchanged throughout the session before closing just slightly below the opening range. September corn futures, 0.75 cents lower, 398.5. December corn down half a penny to 417.5. March corn futures closed at 434.75, down a penny on the day. Everybody's taking a look at the weather forecast, trying to figure out if it's going to promote expansion of the southern rust problem that seems to be developing out there or not. But as of right now, like I said, the corn market seems to be basically ignoring the problem. The U.S. dollar index was higher early in the session, pressuring the bean and bean meal markets. The dollar drifted lower late in the session, but provided little to no support for the soy complex. Palm oil futures have pushed higher this week, supporting soybean oil prices. Spreaders going long oil and short meal anchored meal prices and weighed on the bean market. November soybean futures opened steady and traded to a new high for the week before falling back to close near session lows. August soybeans 4.5 cents lower, 10.05¾. September beans down 3 cents to 10.05. And November beans closed at 10.22¾, down 2¾ cents. December cotton today, point lower at 68.24. Good movement in the box beef trade today. 98 loads traded hand, but the choice graded box beef, 3.07 lower. Still August live cattle futures up 2.05 at 227.02.5. October live cattle up 237.5 to 223.50. August feeders, get this, up 3¼ to 331.52.5. August hogs 72.5 higher at 108.47.5. October hogs 40 cents higher at 90.90. All right, let's bring in Bubba, Todd Horowitz, BubbaTrading.com. How you doing, buddy?
What's up, Chip? How are you, brother?
I'm doing really good, really good. What are you seeing? What's got your attention?
Did you ever notice, other than the meats, that if you looked at the grains on any given day, they'd be at the same price they are today?
Basically the truth. Yes, sir. I have noticed that.
I mean, there's really nothing going on right now to create any excitement. There's a very much of a lack of participation from buyers or sellers. I mean, there's really not much participation. Volumes are down. Volatility is down. Nobody cares about disease. They don't care about, anything. And I think that's more due to the overall economy in general. We're seeing not much investing participation. And again, that's just the way things go. And until this breaks out one way or the other, I think we're just kind of stuck.
Yeah, you know, the equities seem to be gaining confidence in the Trump trade issues, but the grain markets aren't, are they?
No, they're not. And I think that let's remember about the equities. The equities are always predisposed to go higher because there's always money flowing in, and they're really lacking activity. So to me, this is just the 401k money, the IRA money that's pushing them higher. I think that the markets are still kind of on edge. And of course, obviously, we're all targeting August 1st, which is obviously a big day for what may or may not happen. Will he continue? Will he follow through? I think he should, but whatever he does, I think we're just kind of on edge waiting, and there's really just a lack of activity, and the markets are just shriveling up.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it in one form or another, I think the tariffs are going to continue on August 1. I'm just not exactly sure, like as you said, what that form is going to be. Bubba, good stuff, man. Thanks.
Thanks, Chipper. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too, buddy. Todd Horowitz, BubbaTrading.com. Angie Setzer, Consus Ag Consulting, is up next here on AgriTalk.
This is Andrew McRae, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. Talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
When the game is on the line, championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing, because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld, then share them with family and friends.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
My mom is a veteran and she was injured in the line of duty.
I hurt my leg in a training accident when she was only 2 years old.
She had 7 different surgeries over the span of 9 years, and there were tons of complications.
I'm doing much better now. I may have lost my leg, but I've gained so much. I got my joy back.
We got our mom back, thanks to DAV.
Every year, DAV helps more than 1 million veterans like Sandy get the health and disability benefits they've earned.
My victory is getting my life back.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Said you'd never buy.
You are invited to Clinton Farms in Bear Creek August 5th through the 7th for this year's Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, celebrating generations of progress with a chance to explore cutting-edge equipment and innovative technology, taking a glimpse into the next generation of agriculture. There are scheduled dairy tours, field demonstrations, hundreds of industry booths, and great family entertainment. Be there August 5th through the 7th. Bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, helping family farms through tough times with land loan rates as low as 5.55% for well-qualified borrowers. Rates subject to credit approval and may vary. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us on this Wednesday afternoon. Davis has got the afternoon off, and like I said earlier, last I checked, the Royals were leading the Cubs, so it's probably a good thing he's not with us. But we'll figure that out for tomorrow. Joining us right now, Angie Setzer, Consus Ag Consulting. Angie, it is good to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm happy to be here. I'm okay. I'm good. I'm great. I'd be better if the market was about 75 cents higher in corn, a couple bucks on beans. Just get us above that cost of production so I wouldn't, you know, have to feel like I'm in the never-ending story swamp of sadness every day. But good otherwise. Blessed and happy to be here.
Okay. Well, you're giving us a lot to work with right out the chute, Angie. I like to hear that. So we're not 75 cents higher in corn. We're not $2 higher in beans. What is the message that the market's given us?
The market is telling us right now that demand is overstated and supply is understated. Do I believe that? No, but that is what the market is telling you currently. And I mean, we've been living on this sort of attitude or this sort of message, you know, since the start of the marketing year, honestly. Like, a lot of people kind of missed the boat on the big export sales figures for the crop year and spent the entire year talking them down or talking them, you know, out of existence to a certain extent. First, it was front loading, right, of the exports, front loading ahead of tariffs. And then we were going to run the risk of cancellations. Remember when Brazil won that tender here at the end of May or whatever? And all of a sudden we were going to cancel all of the export book that we had. And now it's new crop is overstated because old crop obviously isn't necessarily. It might be just a skosh when we get down to the end of shipments and things like that. But, you know, it's one of those things where everyone's been saying all of the reasons that demand needs to go lower. The USDA is not lowering demand. And in the cash market structure, it's not showing that demand is backing off. But here we sit, and until something shows the trade that isn't the case, that demand is, you know, probably in line potentially, or at the very least, production isn't necessarily significantly understated, you know, we're kind of stuck, like Bubba said, right at this level.
Yeah. Yep. What are you seeing from the cash market? What's the basis telling you?
That there are a lot of people that are on the end user side of things in the Eastern Corn Belt, northern portions of the Eastern Corn Belt. Now we are, you know, I've had a few trades as far south as into Georgia this year. Things have been really weird in the Eastern Corn Belt for sure. Obviously to the south, they're beginning to harvest. So it's, you know, that's slowing down, like very, very south. Otherwise, though, you're seeing a continuation of strength and an end user that, you know, says, oh, well, every day that passes is another day closer to harvest than I am, which is accurate. But it's also another day that they probably didn't cover their usage, you know, because the farmer selling is nearly non-existent. And if the commercial was worth their grain of salt, at least in the Eastern Corn Belt and actually across most of the Western Corn Belt, the grain that they bought in February, they had sold for movement June, July timeframe, and August, September is pretty much wide open. If you're a merchandiser, you know, the last thing you're going to do is really throw yourself into this thing and see what happens. You're pretty well moved your stuff, or at least you should have.
How much of the old crop is left to move out there? I mean, is there enough out there that it will be an anchor on the market?
No, this isn't a year ago. I fully believe that we're going to be harvesting into a vacuum in at least the Eastern Corn Belt. And I might be speaking, I have backyarditis. I know that. I'm okay with that. That's the market that I trade. But I do think, you know, the Western Belt is going to probably be a bit surprised. Now, it depends. Like, do we cool down? Does the forecast cool off? Do things turn off wet? You're pouring fungicide to this crop. I mean, when do you start to harvest this thing? Is it going to be delayed? Is it not? You know, and if you're an end user, what's going to be out there as we work our way into the end of September? And so I don't want to get too cocky and sound like I know what basis is going to do across the entire Corn Belt, because I absolutely don't. But I do know the Eastern Corn Belt is going to be, you know, basically running on fumes here as we work our way into harvest.
Okay.
We saw a basis firm 40 cents at one ethanol plant this week in 10 days because Ontario started to come knocking. So over here, she's getting a little spicy. I can tell you that.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool. I'd love to see that ripple out across the.
You didn't hear it from me.
I won't mention it.
But it is cool. It's something that I think will help. And to me, that's why I remain optimistic in this market, is because you're seeing cash firm around the world. It's not just here. It's not just Eastern Corn Belt. You know, you're seeing European cash prices. You're seeing Black Sea cash prices. You're seeing the Brazilian cash corn market heavily inverted. You see that with a record crop, Chip? Does that tend to happen with a crop that's record? No, we've got, so there's some things that are just not adding up entirely. You know, that the cash market is showing signs of, but try that, try convincing trade of that right now. Most of them don't even really pay attention to what Brazil basis or cash markets are doing when all is said and done.
We're still cheaper than Brazil though, aren't we?
Yes. Through the end of the year almost. I mean, I think you'll see them step up OND. I think you'll start to see some Ocnovdis offers coming in out of Brazil. They've got some cheaper freight opportunities and some things, but the U.S. won the Korean tender business last night for Ocnov. Yep. I mean, we shouldn't be doing that. If the Brazil crop is, and so that's the thing. The Brazil crop was probably big, right? But the Brazil crop was a lot smaller last year, and overall the Brazilian demand was probably significantly understated.
Right.
And then you had harvest delays. And what is it? The one thing that I say, Chip, cash grain doesn't move. It oozes. And so now you have a bunch of people out there that were expecting this sort of wave of cheap grain. It's not coming. The slower harvest pace goes, the less money the Brazilian farmer is making, the less excited they are to sell. Now, if we see struggle with the currency, like when Trump announced the tariffs, you know, Brazil's currency got weaker quite quickly. And you saw some of the biggest farmer movement into the market that we've seen in corn this marketing year and soybeans since April, but the market absorbed all of it. Okay. It's just, there's some things happening in cash that tell me that demand is far from overstated and that supply actually might be the one that is overstated globally. But again, that in a $4 gets you a can of Coke now or whatever, right?
Like, yep. That's right. That's right. The other point on Brazil, Angie, they've got to, I don't know if they need to keep more corn for immediate ethanol production or if that's further down the line.
Immediate.
I don't know the exact timing on when those plants are coming online, but they're building them.
Oh, yeah. They've got 20 different projects in the works. Half of them are on, half of them are. A lot of them are looking to source bushels nearby, you know, like. AgriInvest is who I lean on. This isn't information that I'm out here, like, boots on the ground. You know, they're the boots on the ground. They trade, you know, nearly a half a billion bushel of grain. They're 500 million bushel grain traders, you know, and they're scratching their head. But they're simply saying that domestic demand in Brazil has probably been significantly understated for more than 1 year. And that it's probably significantly understated right now when you look at the USDA projections. And so you do have a big corn crop, and you probably will have a 40 million metric ton Brazil export program, but it's not going to be the 40 million metric ton Brazil export program you had in 23. In 23, they exported 40 million metric ton between July and December. In 25, it's going to be 40 million metric ton between July and May. And that is a huge difference.
Yes. Yes. No doubt.
It oozes, right?
It does. Yes, I hear you. Okay, so that's a great conversation on corn. It doesn't feel like it would take half that long to have the same kind of conversation on beans.
No. Soybeans, I mean, we're going to lean heavily on domestic demand. You know, soybeans have some weird things happening. Obviously, China's holding off on buying U.S. beans. But I think, you know, we have trade negotiations in 5 days. And so if you were China, would you buy beans today or would you buy beans after trade? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, depends on how the trade negotiations go. Yeah.
Like, why would you do it now? Like, let's wait a few days. You know, China has covered about 85% of their needs based on estimates as we work our way out into September. August is fully covered. September is about 85%. October still, though, they have 90% of their overall crush needs to cover. You know, but there are some interesting things happening, like meal's rallying in China. They're importing Argentinian meal. They booked another cargo of that today. You know, there's some interesting dynamics happening, but China's crushing the heck out of their beans. Like, they want to take beans in. They want to crush them. You know, the rest of the world wants to take beans in. They want to crush them. You know, I think the biggest thing that we're struggling with in the world market when it comes to soybean demand is just how many beans we're actually putting into our gas tanks now, right? Yeah. Like, because you're trying to estimate a percentage of gasoline demand, which obviously has been under question for a while because of EVs and this, that, and the other thing. But then you also have increased blending mandates and yada, yada, yada. And so I think the bean market, I think a lot of people think that China's going to not buy anything from the U.S. That's false. Could we see a reduction? Do we see China take 3 million? Yeah. Less? Yeah. But I hear the music, so I will hush for a minute.
Very good. Hush for about 3 minutes here, Angie. Angie Setzer, her Conscious Ag Consulting. When we come back, those Argentine meal sales into China, I want to start there. That's important. We'll do that next here on AgriTalk.
You said you'd never buy your kid candy from the checkout aisle or forget extra diapers. You'd never lick your thumb to clean their face. Never, ever become a minivan mom. So when you say you'd never leave your child in a hot car, know it can happen. Cars get hot fast, and kids can be at risk in temperatures as low as 60 degrees Fahrenheit. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop, look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and recap how the markets closed today. September HRW wheat futures, 9¾ cents lower, 523.5. September SRW wheat down 9 cents to 540.5. September corn futures, 0.75 cents lower at 398.5. December corn down 0.5 cents to 417.5. August soybeans were 4.5 cents lower at 10.05¾. November beans closed at 10.22¾, down 2¾ cents. December cotton, point lower, 68.24. August live cattle, 205 higher, 227.02½. August feeders up 3¼ to 331.52½. And August hog, 72.5 higher at 108.47½.
Looking for a new skid steer loader, compact track loader, or UTV? Take the challenge. Go head-to-head against other brands, comparing quality, comfort, or performance. Bobcat machines are the best in the industry. But don't take our word for it. Visit BobcatAdvantage.com or visit us in person at Comro Sales and Service, your authorized Bobcat dealer in Durand. Call us today, 715-672-4263, to learn more.
When your reputation is on the line, go to the Midwest leader, Bauer Built Tire and Service, for all your tire and service repair needs. They've been supplying cars, SUVs, light and medium truck tires, as well as farm tires since 1944. Plus, they've built their reputation on services such as alignments, brakes, and suspension work that will exceed your expectations. Stop in today at Bauer Built Tire and Service on Mall Drive in Eau Claire and in Durand. Bauer Built, built on service.
It's good to know that your Touchstone Energy Cooperative is always there. For generations, we've powered the growth of our neighborhoods, our businesses, and everything in between. Today, our commitment is stronger than ever to provide affordable energy you can depend on and keep you connected to what matters most, now and for generations to come.
Riverland Energy is your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
It is going to be hot and muggy today. The heat index pushing 100 or better with an actual high in the low to mid-90s this afternoon. A few thunderstorms late this afternoon and tonight. Some of those could be strong to severe with hail and wind being the main threat. Tomorrow, thunderstorms with a high of 84. If you need a new bathroom, you might as well build yourself a nice one for $99 a month interest-free with BCI Bath and Shower. Call today, 800-329-4115. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 78.
Not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us. We are in the middle of a conversation with Angie Setzer, Consus Ag Consulting. You mentioned the Argentine bean meal sales into China. It's the first year that it's happening.
Yes.
And the timing on it, dang it, it couldn't be worse, really, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a sign that we need to figure out what to do with meal. And so, like, myself over here, I'm just like, it's used in organic farming. Like, isn't there a way that we can convert it into some type of fertilizer or burn it to heat our houses? Like, there's got to be something.
Turn it back to dirt?
Yeah, something. I mean, there's got to be something you can do with meal this way. And honestly, like, we're in a weird spot. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend I'm this expert in oil shares. So please take all of what I'm saying with a grain of salt, like, as just a cash trader looking at this market. You know, we're in a weird spot where it used to be soybean oil was the byproduct. You know, you crushed beans for meal, right? That you wanted the protein, really. Like, yeah, some soy oil or whatever. But really what came down to it, we didn't need the oil. That's why a soy oil led rally in the complex was always kind of pushed off as a right. Nothing burger, right? Soy oil is the product now. So how do we switch our brains? And that's really hard in an industry that's loaded with people that have been doing this for 30, 40 years. And in their mind, they're never going to, I don't want to say never, but you know what I mean? Like, it's this whole entire change.
I've got my hand in the air. That's me.
Yeah, like, and I suffer from it too now. I'm year 21 over here. I'm like, 2008, we'd have never, you know. But anyway, like, so we've got to try to recognize that just because meal is cheap doesn't mean that soybeans have to go to zero. I don't know how we get there, though, right? Like, does oil have to trade at levels that are incompatible with food? You know, and so, like, I had a conversation with Seth Meyer shortly after the RVO from the you know, USDA. Seth and I talked shortly after the RVO announcement. You know, and that was one of the things that he said is, like, we're going to have to import vegetable oil at some point. You know, but basically it's going to be something that's going to end up going into the food, like your canola oil, your canola oil and some of these other things, that's going to be what works its way into the food. The soy oil is almost going to have to trade at a premium because it's an energy product now. Yeah. And again, I don't know what all that means. You know what I mean? Like, but I think it's going to take the market probably 5 years to wrap its mind
it's
around
a big adjustment.
But I think you figure out if meal gets cheap enough, you find a secondary usage for it. Like, we burn it. And like I said, convert it into energy or something. Like, there is, and again, I am not a scientist or whatever, but the market will solve the problem. But in the meantime, you know, you've got cheap meal in Argentina. They had a lot of beans working at harvest time. You know, China's tried to see what this would look like to import straight meal. It works economically, and so they did.
Yep. The buyers are coming back into the bean oil market, Angie. I mean, we've got to be impressed by that.
Yes. Yeah. As they should be. I mean, that's just what I can't get my mind wrapped around this market or the analysis that is in this market at this point in time, because it's like, well, we need clarity on biofuel, you know, with this administration. Yep. The administration has shown nothing but support for biofuels at this point in time. RVOs have come in well above what was expected. It looks like they're going to reallocate the SRE. Like, the SRE is the last bearish thing in biofuels that anyone can talk about. And it purely looks like we're going to reallocate them. So I can't figure out where the negativity comes from. You know, like I said, it's just this constant argument that demand is overstated, even though the numbers, the cash market, all of the things at ground level don't show that. We still have that argument.
Yeah. It's become very clear that to hopefully offset the negative impacts of the trade, you give biofuels all the support, 100% support. 100%.
Yeah. Yep. And at this point, I would say we really don't have significant negative impacts from who out there aside from the EU is it. China did, but we've obviously got a truce with them as long as we don't screw it up. And I think with their rare earth magnets, we're not going to be able to screw it up. We need that. It's important. They have something we really, 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 really need. You know, and so China and the EU and both of them at this point, I would say I would lean more towards we have a solution rather than an implosion. Not going to say we don't have an escalation beforehand, but
yep.
No one in this world is going to tariff their food imports at this point.
Right. Right. Okay. That wheat market, boy, rip roaring. I mean, it continued its string of higher closes to one day.
Yeah. I am Charlie Brown in the wheat market is Lucy in the football, Chip. I keep saying, you know, in the cash market structure in wheat is even more bullish than in corn to a certain extent. Like, you know, the U.S. is not made to be the cheapest supplier in the world market. Like, first off, that's weird when that happens, right? We're supposed to be the granary and we're the right. cheapest on all classes, you know, for wheat offered into the world. A lot of folks are starting to get nervous about what's going on with Russia. There's a lot of talk of much smaller crop size. So remember, about 3 months ago, everyone started to talk about Russia creeping up towards 88, 89 million metric ton. Now everyone's kind of leaning closer to 83, maybe less. You're starting to see some issues with logistics. The farmer's not selling there either. They keep talking about Ukraine harvest delays. Ukraine's been dry as heck two-thirds of the country. Yeah. Like, why are we harvest delaying? What is this? And so, you know, to me, again, it's another sign. Like, everyone was anticipating this huge wave of really, really cheap grain when harvest started, and we're not seeing it. Cash prices right now are above last year's harvest cash. Your basis is stronger with your futures lower. What does that tell you? Chip, what is the first lesson you learn in merchandising grain and in trading grain? If cash firms in the face of weakening futures, you just have to be patient. The hardest part is Tom Petty was right, right? The waiting is the hardest part. And so here we sit. But yeah, it's the whipping boy. There isn't a real big story. Like, wheat is such a complicated market and it's so thin. And overall, the managed money can come in and just beat it up, you know, and it seems to be kind of their favorite thing to do right now. It's their, you know, their favorite pastime.
Yep. Spring wheat tour is happening right now. Mm-hmm. Can they tell us anything that would move this market?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, basically we're probably, you know, maybe the yield is a little less than what was expected. But at this point, I feel like you could say to the market that the yield is 42 and it just wouldn't believe you, you know, it could be below the 5-year average at this point and we're in a show me market. Like, and even when we're showing it, it's still not believing it. You know, and that's sentiment that's, you know, Bubba was right. A lack of just pure investment. But if you've had your hand slapped every time you've come in and tried to buy commodities on what was bullish fundamental information, are you going to come in and buy commodities again? Like, think about how many times it's been a perfect setup to enter. How many key reversals have we had that have ended up being nothing? Right. You know, I don't blame them, but I do think that we have a reckoning moment coming in a lot of these markets where your end user is going to have to suddenly recognize that they've waited so long that they've probably missed the boat on the cheapest stuff. Now you just have a question of, do you get a panic? Like, does it drive a cash panic? We already have a short squeeze happening in cash feed grains already, but does that spill over into the funds? You know, I think you've got to probably see some move in spreads. You've got to see something big happen with China or whatever, but yeah, I mean, there's a lot happening. It's just every day I come in and I'm like, okay, I'm ready to be hurt again.
All right, Angie, we are right on schedule because I wanted to get to this last part of the conversation well before we got to the end of the show or the end of our segment. What do the grain risk management conversations between you and clients sound like right now?
Mostly a reiteration of the risk management steps we took to mitigate significant downside risk through July. Because even if you own puts, even if you have crop insurance, even if you have grain marketed, like, obviously no one's out here with all of their stuff sold at 4.79¾ or whatever, where they wish they'd have put the target order in back in February. And so a lot of it is just simply, you know, right now trying to determine what it is that we need to be doing at harvest time, what kind of movement we have, what kind of cash price targets we have in mind. You know, like I said, just kind of what we would like to see happen. It's still more of wish list season right now because, like I said, you know, we've got certain levels of risk managed. And to me, today is not the day that we panic and puke 417 corn. For me, I'm working on, you know, what does full awk basis look like for some corn, trying to see if maybe we can get something, you know, sexy in that realm. But beyond that, my conversations are more keep your head up, keep your focus on what we're doing. We have plans in place initially. Let's utilize these opportunities and basis that we're seeing. You know, and really that's all it should be. If your risk manager right now is just drumming up fear and causing you greater stress, they're not helping you manage risk. They're right. Just a pain in the neck, honestly. Like I'm not here to blow smoke by any means and give positive insight if I didn't think there was any. But I don't think this year is last year for one. I don't think we have a secondary harvest that we have to work our way through ahead of the coming harvest. And I see the things in the world market. I think the tightness that has been present in this past year is going to kind of show itself, you know, now that we're working our way through what we thought was going to be a wave of inflow and we're not seeing it. So,
okay,
I mean, I'm going to be
30 seconds.
All right.
Are you looking at 26 crop?
We started to when we were up around 480 or so. We're not right now.
Okay.
Like we're not profitable. Like it's, you look at fertilizer costs and things like that. Like we can lock in a significant loss any day over the next 18 months. It's not going to be today.
We
have tons of opportunity
we got a lot of opportunities to lock in a loss. We're just not going to do it today.
Why are you going to do it today? That's all right.
I love it. Angie, good stuff. Great job. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Angie Setzer, Consus Ag Consulting. I'm going to pull a couple of highlights. We're going to talk a little bit more about the trade deal with Japan. I'll be right back to wrap up today's AgriTalk in a moment.
Switching to Progressive is a game-winning call. And that reminds us of other game-winning calls in the history of sports.
It was a doubleheader in August and really hot inside the concession stand. So instead of waiting for people to come to me, I figured I'd walk around yelling,
"Hot dogs here!"
And that's how I became the first hot dog vendor in sports.
Okay, not really a game-winning call, but it was a good call. You can make one, too. Switch to Progressive and you could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states.
ZipRecruiter is the place. ZipRecruiter is the place for talented teachers, savvy software developers, and master mixologists. ZipRecruiter is the place where you meet all these people and more. That's because ZipRecruiter is the place for job seekers who are looking for new opportunities. In fact, ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day, so you can find the right candidates right away. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Now is the perfect time to start on your next success. Apply now and save with no application fee. Classes start August 13th. An accredited state university, University of Maryland Global Campus, offers online and hybrid courses. Plus, you can earn up to 90 credits toward a bachelor's for prior learning and work experience. Or transfer up to 12 credits towards a master's. Learn more at umgc.edu. Certified to operate in Virginia by Chef.
Here's comedians and Skechers getting comfortable. Presented by Hands Free Skechers Slip-Ins.
Hey, I'm Bobby Slayton, and I'm here with my pal, comedian, and Skechers ambassador, Mr. Howie Mandel.
Why did it take so long to invent something as amazing as Slip-Ins? I know it seems simple, but it took Skechers to invent a better pair of shoes.
Yep, with Skechers Slip-Ins, you just step it and go. You don't have to touch your shoes. And by the way, Slip-Ins are for the whole family. Men, women, and kids. In all your favorite Skechers styles, find Skechers Slip-Ins at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Go to work, grab lunch, come home, run to practice, run to the store, grab dinner, go to bed, and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Snakes, zombies, sharks,
heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV, and you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-515-1548.
That's right, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-515-1548. That's 800-515-1548.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Learn from the experts at Yield Academy in Rochester, Minnesota on August 21st. Use promo code AgriTalk for a 50% discount. Go to FarmJournalYieldAcademy.com.
Machine Repeat, Casey Seymour, Shea Folk, Dan Bossi, they're all going to be there along with Ken Ferry, David Hula, Randy Dowdy, talking about what it takes to grow corn and soybeans. And so I'm sure that they will discuss some of the issues that are out there right now and what happened, why it happened, and some ideas on how to prevent it from happening again. Man, when we were talking about the tightly wrapped tassels or the tight wrapped tassels with David Hula and Randy Dowdy on Tuesday morning, I just figured it was going to be, well, you know, it's just one of those things. It's an environmental trigger. It's something that you can't predict. But then Hula got really excited. For David, he was really excited. And he started talking about, but you guys, you can spread out your risk. You plant the different varieties based on the different maturity dates, based on the different flowering periods. You stagger those a bit, and you plant two, maybe even three hybrids at the same time across the field. That way, if you do have a problem, if you do have a problem with one hybrid, the other may be there to provide the pollen to pollinate the rest of the crop. So I just thought it was really interesting. That was Tuesday morning. If you want to go back and listen to that, go to farmjournalyieldacademy.com. And at there you will find a promo code button or area. Put AgriTalk in that, and it will give you half off the price of admission to the Farm Journal Yield Academy. The last night we got word that that President Trump and the Japanese negotiators had reached a deal. Big, huge deal. couple of components in there I'm still kind of scratching my head about and trying to figure out exactly what it means. I mean, there's like $500 billion in Japanese investment in the U.S. Where's that going? How is that going to be done? Part of that makes me think that we're going to be there's going to be more Japanese cars produced for the U.S. market in the U.S. Okay, that would probably work. They also opened up the Japanese market to U.S. autos, but I mean, how many do we sell into Japan now? It can't be many. And so even if it's 100% increase in the number of cars, U.S. cars that are sold into Japan, I don't think that has much of an impact there. So I'm interested in learning more about what that $500 billion investment, Japanese investment into the U.S. is going to be. Also, another component, Japan reportedly agreed to purchase $8 billion in ag products, including increased purchases of rice. Now, you know, on the surface, you think, geez, $8 billion, more rice, that's good news. All right, here we go. But Japan has historically imported $12 to $16 billion worth of U.S. ag goods. So is it at least $8 billion, even if their demand turns down and they don't want to buy? But they still, you know, I'm scratching my head trying to get all that figured out. And I think that's why when, even after getting the biggest trade deal ever, corn was steady to a penny lower. Beans were 2 to 4.5 cents lower. Meal was lower. Bean oil was higher. Wheat was lower. So it's either a lack of understanding of exactly what's in that trade deal or a lack of enthusiasm for what is in the trade deal. And I think it might be a combination of both here. Tom Petty market. Wasn't that an interesting comment from Angie? I thought it was anyway. You know, waiting can be the hardest part in when it comes to marketing. And the thing is, you know, I've always contended that when you get to the end of the day, whatever the market is telling you is what is right. That because who are you going to argue with at that point? So the market is right. But when you take into consideration the basis analysis, you know, this is why we do basis analysis. This is why there are different strategies to use to market grain based on what basis is doing. Is basis weaker than normal? Is it normal or is it stronger than normal? It's those three things that you got to figure out. You're just comparing today to history. And once you get those things figured out, then you can go about picking the right marketing strategy to use. So maybe we just got to wait this one out, not only in the wheat market, as Angie was talking about, but hey, might need to do some waiting in corn and soybeans as well. Got this one from a listener. I thought it was really good. August Class 3 milk futures, 1712 today. So $235 local bean meal is what's keeping us going. Good point. And then he also added that and $1,250 three-day-old black calves. We've talked about the beef on dairy, and that's a good observation right there. National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook July 29 through August 2nd. Below normal temperatures. You heard me right. Below normal temperatures expected in eastern North Dakota, eastern South Dakota, Minnesota, northern Iowa, Wisconsin, Michigan. Near normal through the heart of the belt, and below above normal temperatures expected Kansas, Missouri, southern Illinois, and points to the south and east there. Above normal precipitation expected over most of the Corn Belt, near normal in the Eastern Belt. 8 to 14 day, the below normal temperatures are moving into the heart of the Corn Belt, near normal to above normal on the precipitation. Thank you so much for listening. Certainly appreciate that. Come back tomorrow morning. We're going to have a conversation with Senator Roger Marshall on his Maha plans and with Lee Scholz from Avarag. We'll get you ready for cattle inventory tomorrow on AgriTalk.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV, and you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-230-2777. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-230-2777. That's 800-230-2777. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-230-2777. 800-230-2777.